Well, there is an ancient tradition that was started thousands of years ago that on Easter Sunday, one believer would say, "He is risen," and then the other believers would respond by saying, "He is risen indeed." All right, so we're going to carry on that tradition today. Let's try it in this room. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. One more time. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm excited today that it's Easter, and I'm excited also that today we are starting a new three-week sermon series called New Life. All three of these sermons will be coming out of Romans chapter 6, and it's about how God gives us new life through Jesus. And here's the basis of a basic thought of this whole series, and it's this, that we can have new life because Jesus died and came back to life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That's what we're going to see in Romans chapter 6. So when you found Romans 6, if you're using a pew Bible, this might help you out. It's on page 886, 886 in the pew Bible. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk," and here it is, "in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, as we come to your word this morning and we reflect on the fact that Jesus died and rose again, that he is even now seated at your right hand in heaven, waiting until all of his enemies are be placed as a footstool under his feet. God, we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit as we reflect upon the risen Christ and what that means for us and our ability through him to have new life. And Father, we pray that you would grant new life to us even today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where you wished you could just start over? You ever been in one of those situations? I've been in a lot of those situations, probably more than usual. I remember one of them, I was a freshman in college, and I was preaching one of my very first ever sermons. In fact, it was just right up the road in Milan, Tennessee, at Milan First Baptist Church, and they let me preach on a Sunday night. This was one of my first sermons that I ever preached. I was so nervous. I prepared probably for like a month for that sermon, and I got up to preach, and I had my notes and had everything ready, and I had 3 points, because every sermon I'd ever heard before that had 3 points. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And the thing happened was I got through with the first point, and somehow I lost my place in my notes. And I skipped ahead like 3 or 4 pages, and then I started preaching the third point before I ever preached the second point, and about a third of my sermon just went down the tubes, and I never recovered. At some point, I looked like a deer in the headlights and thought, man, I wish I could just start this sermon over. I butchered it. And then maybe it was something like this. Maybe you can relate to this. There have been times when I've had a bad attitude with my wife, Melissa. Now, don't look at me so holy, because I know you've probably done the same thing. I know you can't imagine that that would be true of me, but it is. And sometimes my bad attitude with her has led us to get into an argument, and things maybe have gotten heated, and sometimes in my better days, I'll just stop in the middle of all that heated arguing, and I'll say, "Sweetie, I'm so sorry that I'm acting like this. Can we just start over? Can we just start over?" And we'll have to start over. Or maybe it's not a moment in a single day. Maybe it's a whole season of life that you just wish you could push the reset button on and start fresh with. Man, I've experienced that before. There was a few years of my life when I was really rebelling against God and just doing whatever I wanted to do against the better judgment of all that I'd been taught. And I was rebelling against the Lord for years, sinning against God. And finally, God, through His grace, brought me to a place of repentance, and I got before my God on my knees and said, God, can you please just let me start over, to start fresh? Listen, maybe I'm talking to some people in the room this morning who are in a situation in their life where you wish you could just push the reset button and start things over, for whatever reason it might be. Maybe some of you have been rebelling against God like I did, and you're in a season of life where you just know that you have blown it spiritually, you're involved in all kinds of sin, and you just wish you could get to the place where you could just start over with God. Maybe it's your marriage. Or if you're not married, it's a romantic relationship and things have gotten really broken and messed up and you wish you could just start over and start fresh with your wife or with your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it might be. Maybe you've made some poor financial decisions recently and you're feeling the stress of financial burden and you just wish you could go back and change some things and just start over and start fresh. Listen, I have good news for you this morning. It's this. If you're in a place in your life where you wish you could start over, I want you to know this morning that God is in the start over business. God is in the start over business. God will allow you to start afresh, to start over. God will allow you to experience what verse 4 in Romans 6 of our text this morning calls newness of life. That's God's way of saying He wants you to be able to start over. And it's made possible through Jesus. Now, here's what we're going to see. I want us to notice three truths about what it looks like and how it's possible to start over in life with Jesus Christ. Now here, I'm going to go ahead and let you know ahead of time that at the end of my sermon this morning, I want to give you a chance that if you're here this morning and you know that you need to start over with God in your life, we're going to give you a chance at the end of our worship service this morning to do that, to commit your life back to God, to repent of your sins, believe in Jesus, and to start over and to experience God's new life, all right? So notice with me three truths about how it's possible to start over and experience new life with God. First of all, notice with me in our passage that it's possible to start over with God and experience new life first because Jesus died to defeat sin. Now, if you're taking notes, there's a little note-taking sheet on the back of your bulletin. You can follow along if that helps you to follow along with the sermon. Jesus died to defeat sin. Sin is why we need to start over with God in the first place. Sin is why we need a fresh start and newness of life, verse 4 of Romans 6, in the first place. Now listen, notice what it says in verses 6 and 7 of Romans 6. Notice what Paul says here about sin. Paul says, we know that our old self was crucified with Him, with Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Did you notice how many times he mentions the word sin in those two verses? What is sin? Well, listen, at one level, sin is simply whenever you break one of God's laws. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned. The best person you could possibly think of has sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. Sin at one level is breaking God's laws. But did you notice something else that Paul says about sin here? Paul, at the end of verse 6, says that we were at one time enslaved to sin. Enslaved to sin. Here's what that means. Sin is not just an act that we commit. Sin is a power to which we are enslaved. It's a power to which we are enslaved. Over the end of chapter 5 of Romans, in verse 21, listen to what Paul says about sin there. Paul says there that sin at one time reigned in death. Sin reigned. It had power over us. Here's what Paul is saying. The reason that the reason that we commit acts of sin is because we are enslaved to the power of sin. That's the reason we sin. We're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice as well, and we are enslaved to the power of sin. Listen, sin, the power of sin, in many ways, is a lot like drug addiction. Melissa and I have someone that's close to us in our family that from the time he was 18 to the time he was in his mid-30s was addicted to drugs. Started smoking marijuana at an early age and then got into harder things like heroin. And for years and years and years, he was wrecking his life, wrecking his body, wrecking all of his relationships. Everything that was precious to him was just going down the tubes, all because of that addiction. And why does a drug addict use drugs? Because he or she is enslaved to the power of those drugs in their life. And here, in the same way, what Paul is saying is sin is like a drug. And all of us as sinners are addicted to it. And the reason that we commit acts of sin is because it has power over us. It reigns over our old sinful selves. And we causes us to do what it wants us to do. The reason that we sin is because of sin's power over us. But notice what Paul says in verse 10. Go down to verse 10. What we were unable to do, resist sin, Jesus was able to do. And notice what he says in verse 10. He says, "For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all." Jesus not only died for our sins, that's true, it's a glorious fact. Jesus died for your sins. He died to pay the penalty for your sins that you deserve to pay. He died in your place on the cross as your substitute. He died for your sins. But Jesus did not just die for sin. Jesus, in his death, also died to sin. Here's what that means. Have you ever heard someone say, "You're dead to me"? Right? You're dead to me. What does that mean? It means you are no longer going to be a part of my life. And when Paul says that when Jesus died, he died to sin, what he's saying is, after Jesus paid the penalty for sin and rose from the dead, sin was dead to him. It was no longer going to have any place potentially in his life. He was dead to sin. Sin was dead to him. No longer permanently would sin ever have anything to do in the life of Jesus. Jesus was tempted in all the same ways that you and I are to sin, but he never gave in. And when he died to sin and temptation once and for all. And in so doing, Jesus showed that he is the only human being who has ever lived who is more powerful than sin. He is more powerful than sin. He broke sin's power. And why is that important for you and for me? Here's what Paul is saying. Here's why this is such great news for you and for me. If you're following Jesus, then Jesus is on your side. And because Jesus is more powerful than sin, if Jesus is with you, he will enable you to be more powerful than sin, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Jesus broke the power of sin, and by doing that, if you will come to him, he will break the power of sin in your life as well. His power will fill you, and you too can be dead to sin, and its power can be broken in your life. That's part of what it means to experience newness of life. Starting over means God breaks the power of sin's addiction and control in our lives. That's newness of life. So first, how is it possible for people like you and me to have new life? Well, it's possible because Jesus died to defeat sin, the sin that's ruining our lives. But here's the second truth today. Not only is it possible for us to have newness of life in Christ because Jesus died to defeat sin, secondly, it's possible for us to have new life because Jesus rose to defeat death. Jesus rose to defeat death. Now listen, death and sin go together. They're two sides of one coin. Sin always leads to death. Here's what Paul says about that. Look on the screens with me at Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Paul says this: sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, the first man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. Sin leads to death. Notice what Paul says in Romans 6:23. This is just later in our passage, in the passage we're looking at this morning. He says in Romans 6:23, the wages or the payment for sin of sin is what? It's death. And then notice what James, the brother of Jesus, says about sin in James 1:15. He says, sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth what? It brings forth death. Sin and the death that leads to are our two greatest enemies as human beings. Sin and death or why our world is so broken to begin with. Sin and death is why our lives are so broken and messed up to begin with. And the good news is that Jesus has defeated both of them. He defeated sin on the cross when he died to sin and for sin. And he defeated death in the empty tomb when he rose from the dead, breaking sin's power and breaking death's power in our lives. Notice what Paul says about how Jesus broke the power of death through his resurrection in verse 9. Look at your Bibles at verse 9 of Romans 6. Paul says in verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. And then notice this, death no longer has dominion over him. Death no longer rules over him. Now, death one day is going to rule over us until Jesus comes again. But death only ruled over Jesus for 3 days. Because then Jesus rose from the dead. He says, never to die again. Verse 9. Now listen, Jesus was not the only one in the Bible that was raised from the dead. Did you know that? There are examples of people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that died, and then God raised them back to life again. Let me give you a couple of examples just from the New Testament alone. For instance, in Luke chapter 7, there was this widow from a place called Nain, and her son passed away, and Jesus raised him back to life again. And then there's Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8 that Jesus raised back to life again. And then we all remember Jesus' friend Lazarus, that he wept over when Lazarus died. And in John chapter 11, Lazarus, like Jesus, had been dead for 3 whole days, but then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus raised from the dead. Then there's this lady named Tabitha in Acts chapter 9 that was raised from the dead. And Eutychus, who fell out of the window and died, and then Paul went and raised him back to life again in Acts chapter 20. But here's the thing. All these people were raised to life from the dead, but then eventually they all died again. Jesus, and here's what's different about him, Jesus was raised on the third day, never to die again. That's what Paul means in Romans 6, verse 9, when he says that he was raised from the dead, never to die again, for death no longer and never will have dominion over him. Now listen, I want to tell you this morning that this is one of the key things that separates Christianity from all other world religions. In almost all other world religions, the adherents of those religions will travel and make pilgrimage to the place of the burial site of the founder of their faith. I want to show you a few examples of that, all right? Notice first of all with me on the screens, this first picture. This first picture is called the Mosque of the Prophet. It's in Saudi Arabia. And every year, tens of millions of Muslims every year travel to the Middle East to a place called the Mosque of the Prophet, and they gather around the burial place of the Prophet Muhammad, where his remains are, and they worship there, and they remember his teachings, and they're inspired. That's the place in the middle there where the Prophet Muhammad's remains are buried. Let me show you the second picture. The second picture is called the Temple of the Tooth. It's in Sri Lanka. And likewise, every year, millions of Buddhists will travel to the Temple of the Tooth to gather at the place where some of the remains of Buddha are kept, including one of his teeth. And there they worship and they meditate and they're inspired by his way of life. That was the founder of their faith. And they gather at the place of his remains. Let me show you a third one. The third one here is the Cave of the Patriarchs. It's in Israel, in Hebron. And every year, tens of thousands, possibly millions of Jews gather to this place because this is the likely place where Abraham, the founder of the Jewish faith in the Old Testament, was laid to rest. And they gather there and they think about the Old Testament, they think about the example of Abraham, and they worship God, the Jewish people do. But I want to show you two more pictures. You can go to Israel right now. You can go to Jerusalem. I was there this past year, last January. And you can travel to what are two tombs that are likely, one of them is likely the burial place of Jesus. They're not sure exactly which one. They think it's the second one that I'm going to show you in just a second. But this first one, go back to the first one. This is called, the first one is called the Garden Tomb. Go back to that first one, clicker of the computer up there. There you go. This is called the Garden Tomb. And I was there last January, a little over a year and a half ago. And I stood in that tomb. The second place, and this is probably the one that's more likely to be the burial place of Jesus, is within a little shrine building. Go to the second one now. It's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And you can walk in this little shrine that's been built over the top of it, and you can see inside of there. And this, more than likely, scholars would say, was the tomb where Jesus was buried, right outside of the old walls of Jerusalem. We're not sure which one it was, but I can tell you something that both of them have in common. You can go into both of them, and both of them are completely empty. There's not a body in either one of them. There aren't any bones in either one of them. There's not even a tooth in either one of them. Why? Because of what the angel told those ladies back on the first Easter morning. He is not here, for he has risen. The reason it's empty is because of what Paul says in Romans 6, verse 9, our passage for this morning, that death no longer has dominion over him. This is what makes our religion different. We don't have to travel to the burial place of our founder and worship at his remains. We can go anywhere in the world and lift up our voices to our King, because he is not dead. He is alive, and he's seated right now at the right hand of God in heaven, and we can worship him anywhere because he is alive. And if, listen, amen. Listen, I don't think a dead person can save me. I don't know about you. But if he can't save himself, how's he going to save you and me? But Jesus isn't dead. Jesus is alive. And if he's alive, he can save you. And if he came back to life, he can give you new life. He can let you start over. He can make you a different person. He can get rid of the old person that you used to be. And he can make you a completely new person in Christ. He has the power to do all that. And he proved it through the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus. So we've seen that Jesus died to defeat sin. We've seen that Jesus rose to defeat death. But why did Jesus do all of this? Well, notice the third truth with me. Jesus did all this for you. Jesus did all this for you. You. Not just the person seated next to you. Not just your godly grandparents. You. Jesus died for sin, to defeat sin. Jesus rose to defeat death, and he did it for you. Now listen, Jesus did not die and rise again for his own sins. He didn't have any. Furthermore, Jesus didn't die and rise again because he needed to start over. He never messed up his life to begin with. Jesus died and rose again to take care of our sins and to give us the chance to start anew and to have a fresh start on life. This is what Paul is saying in verse 4, which is the key verse in Romans chapter 6. Look again with me at verse 4. Paul says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that," here's the reason he's saying why all this happened, "in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father," notice, "we too might walk in newness of life." Jesus died and rose again because of the "we too." As you read verses 1 through 11, you will see that every time in this passage, every time a Christian is mentioned, that Christian is always linked with Jesus. When Christian is mentioned, when we're mentioned as Christians, we're always linked with Christ throughout this passage. Let me give you the examples. In verse 3, "all of us were baptized into Christ." In verse 4, "we were buried therefore with him." In verse 5, "we have been united with him in a death like his." "We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." In verse 6, "our old self was crucified with him." Verse 8, "we will also live with him." Verse 8 again, "we have died with Christ." Verse 11, "you are alive to God in Christ Jesus." We are connected to him, which means whatever is true of him, if he's died to sin, whatever is true of him, if he rose to defeat death, will be true of us because we are with him. We are in him, and he is with us. Amen. He died so that my sins will be paid for. He rose so that I could have new life. It's kind of summed up in one of the old hymns that we sing around Easter called "Because He Lives." If you know it, you can sing it with me. "God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Now listen, this next part is what I've been preaching about. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. Listen, he lives so that you could live. He lives so that you could have new life. I know I'm talking to some folks this morning who need new life. I know I'm talking to some folks this morning that need a fresh start. I know I'm talking to some people this morning who need to start over. And if you're honest with yourself, you've just reached a place in your life, for whatever reason, that you know you need to start over. Maybe you were like me and you've been rebelling from God for a long, long time. And it's time for you to start over. It's time for you to stop running from God and to start running to God. For some of you, you've been involved deeply into some sin, and maybe you do have an addiction that you're enslaved to, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it might be. And you know down deep inside, you wish there could be some way to start over. And maybe you've tried a lot of things and it doesn't have the power to help you start over. I want you to know Jesus does have the power to help you start over. Maybe you're extremely anxious and fearful at this moment in your life because of something that you've been through and you don't know how you're going to be able to get through it. I want you to know this morning, you can come to Christ today and lay your burdens down at his feet, and he will allow you to have a fresh start and new life and new power for your life. Maybe you're just really lonely and you feel like nobody cares about you. You feel like no one loves you. And even the people that you are closest with, you feel like they have betrayed you and turned their back on you. I want you to know this morning, the Bible says that Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if you will come to him, he will grant you new life. Is that what you want? You want new life? Let's pray together.